It's our privilege today to welcome Dr. Edward Menon to be with us today. Dr. Edward is the Medical Director of St. Andrew's Missions Hospital, and he's here to bring God's Word to us as we remember Medical Sunday this week. Edward, it's good to have
Thanks,
you with
Peter,
us.
Thanks, Peter. Fine, yeah. Please be seated, all of you. Please keep your Bibles open to the two passages that were read this morning. One is 2 Kings chapter 4, the lady from Shunem, and our Lord's exact words to his disciples from John chapter 6. Let's talk to the King of Kings before we speak to each one of you. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, for giving us the opportunity to celebrate life, to celebrate our life physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We thank you, Lord, so much for always warning us, always guard your word always in our heart. Never let it out of our sight. Always incline our ears to your word. Why? Because those of us who have found your word, we have found life to each and every one of us, and we have found health to all of our bones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we start in 2 Kings this morning, we hear about a lady. She's about 42, maybe 46. She's called the lady from Shunem. We don't have her exact name. And she and her husband, she's actually of a noble character. She's quite well-to-do. And Elisha, just bear in mind, a few chapters earlier, Elisha had taken over the mantle of Elijah. And he is going to this city to minister to the people at Shunem. So one day, along the way, she notices that this man is a man of God. And because he's coming through the city, she tells her husband, let's make a room. We have a home. Let's make a room and let's make an upper room so that this man of God, during the time he comes through Shunem, can rest in the room. Verse 8. Subsequently, in verse 11 to 13, Elisha spends time in the room, and Elisha asks his servant Gehazi, what do you think we can do for this lady? This lady has been very kind. She has opened up her home. She has even built an upper room, and we are now resting in it. Gehazi is not very sure, but after asking this lady, they sense the presence of the living God, senses right in Elisha that what husband and wife do not have is they do not have a son. Now you must understand, in those days, if you did not have a son, to be able to take over your inheritance, no matter how rich you are, no matter how well placed you are in society, what is going to happen after you pass on? So what happens is that Elisha calls this lady up to his room and he tells her straight to the face, this year, next time, you will bear a child. Now, this lady has, I'm sure, has prayed for many years, or maybe she doesn't know the King of Kings prior to that, but now she's talking to the servant of the living God, and she turns around and tells him, do not lie to me. I have been barren. If you are going to make a pronouncement that my infertility is cured and I'm going to have a child, of course, I will give you thanks, but do not lie to me. All right, we do not know the remaining emotions between this lady and Elisha, but exactly 1 year after that, a son is born. The son grows, and as far as she is concerned, not only she is a wife, but she grows into such amount of happiness because now she's a mother. She has a son to look after. Moving down, the son one day follows the father into the farm fields. And in verse 18, he suddenly has a very severe illness. And he tells his father, my head, my head. What I'm reading to you is exactly what in the Bible. I mean, we can't add or minus anything else. And the father straight away tells the servant, take this son of mine straight to his mother. And the mother receives this son who is very ill by now. and sits with the sun till noon. And brutally, as she had infertility, as she gave birth to a son, by noon the son dies in her arms. And she remembered, I told this servant of God, do not lie to me. I have lived so long without a child. You sensed my need. You blessed me. You opened my womb. You blessed me with a child. And now I am holding a dead son. Her response is amazing. It is not even recorded in the Bible, the emotional response. But what she decides to do in verse 23 is this. She goes and tells the husband, please send me a servant and send me a donkey, because I am going to run to this servant of the living God. I am not going to wait for any burial. I'm not going to sit around and cry. I'm not going to scream in bitterness. I am going to go straight to the servant of the living God, and I want to have an account from him. Verse 23. Just for all of you who may not know, the city of Shunem to Mount Carmel is 30 kilometers, 20 miles. And she tells the servant, do not ever make the donkey go slow. Hasten it as much as possible, because I want an account from the servant of the living God. All right, so she goes, okay? And it is documented that Elisha, while he was on Carmel, he turns around and he notices this lady, you know, coming towards him, you know, on a donkey at an extremely rapid pace. And he tells Gehazi, go down. You better go down and meet this lady, you know, who's coming, you know, okay? And he asks, and Gehazi asks her three questions. How is it with you? Is it okay with your husband? Is it okay with you? And then he asks a very key question. Is it okay with your child? She refuses to answer him. She just says, it is well. Don't waste my time. I am here to only see one person. So you don't come here, don't interview me, and don't ask me any question. Okay? And then she goes to meet the servant of the living God. Verse 30. And in verse 30, they suddenly realize that the son is dead. And Elisha first sends Gehazi with the staff right down to back to the upper room. But this lady looks at the servant of the living God and says, as your Lord lives, I will not leave you. Many times when we have crisis that comes upon our life, we usually are quite shattered. And when we are shattered in our vision. We are not very sure what to do. There are two medical illnesses that are covered in this passage this morning. One is infertility. If I didn't have a child, I would have lived and I would have carried on. But you opened my womb and you gave me a child. And then you brutally took that child away. And the second medical issue this morning is sudden death. Sudden death is very, very brutal. We look after St. Andrew's Mission Hospital. We have 240 beds. We have about more than 220 patients, all of them elderly, from the age of about 65 to about 95. In the last 10 years, we have had 6 sudden deaths on the ground. And whenever there's a sudden death, the families will want to know, first thing they cannot understand, I just met my loved one this evening and I had dinner. And I went home and at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, you call me and tell me that so-and-so has passed away. I cannot believe you. And then they'll want to know, what did they say? What were their last words? Did they ask anything? Did they say anything? There is no documentation that the son spoke to his mother. Not in this passage. Okay. And when nobody speaks to you and it's so sudden, there's always an extreme amount of bitterness and sadness because I was not there towards your end. You were there for me when I was born. I am not there towards your end. And usually we have to walk through with our patients, especially in sudden death. We also look after patients who have suffered strokes, fractures, spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury. And many times we all want full healing. Nobody comes to the hospitals of Singapore to enjoy the window, to enjoy the greenery, to enjoy whatever there are in the new hospitals of this country. We want to get in because we are ill and we want to leave as quickly as possible and we want to go home. The issue of the matter is that some of our elderly, when it comes to the discharge date, they actually do not want to go home. They do not want to go home because in the hospital, there's a team of people looking after in the Ministry of Healing, not just the medical, there are the therapists, there are the nurses. And everyone every day comes and calls you and looks after you and takes you and ministers to you. When I go home, I may actually go home to an empty home. My children are working, my grandchildren may be busy. You may leave me with a domestic worker, but the domestic worker may be foreign. I may not be able to speak to the domestic worker. And some of our elderly actually do not enjoy going home. So in the Ministry of Healing, we have to guide them through these various phases. And what happened is that we need to always calibrate and share with them what are the issues of care. How do we bring them through this spirit of healing? And we always need to tell them, never be scattered in your vision. Because all healing, whether through medicine, whether through surgery, whether through molecular medicine, precision medicine, or alternative medicine, comes from the gracious, loving hand of a great and almighty God. And as we partner, we have to not only partner the saints of the living God in this household, in the Ministry of Healing, but we must also partner all his laborers whom he has raised in the marketplace. It's always a balance for us as medical, clinical staff to balance the Ministry of Healing. And of course, we want all diseases to be pronounced, killed, and to be healed. Well, the Ministry of Healing and the evidence of healing, yes, majority of it is by sight. Majority of it takes time. But please understand this, all of you this morning. We are all going home. That is the ultimate healing that the Lord brings into our life. When we are healed and when we go home, and I'm not talking about your physical home, we have a home, all of you here. And one day, just as one day you were born, one day you accepted Christ into your life, there will be one day in your life that something is going to be told to you that is very disturbing. It's like the Shunem woman. My son is dead. It's so disturbing, and we must watch our response during a crisis, especially a medical crisis. One day you may be told that your health is no more fully whole. One day you may be told that there is a tumor growing in your body. One day you may be told that your daughter was knocked down in a road traffic accident. One day you may be told that your son is drunk and found in prison. And you need to be ready for that one day. And you look at how amazing this woman is when the one day came upon her. We do not need to run away from the living King. In fact, you know what she did? She ran towards the living King. And it was not a very big, it was a big distance. 30 kilometers in that day was actually quite far. On a donkey. And she decided to go. And as I said, at the end of verse 30, subsequently she tells Elisha, as your Lord lives, Our Lord lives, by the way, all of you. We do not believe in a dead Jew who is still hanging on the cross. We believe in a very powerful, resurrected, almighty King who gave you life physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And with that life, yes, as you journey on, as you age, yes, you will seek help. You must seek help. You must seek prayer and you must seek help. But one day you all, together with me, will go home to be with our King of Kings. That is not the end of the story, by the way. So Elisha comes down and he comes to the upper room, the same room which this lady made for him. He goes into the room and he finds this dead child lying in the room. So what does he do? He lies down on this child once, gets up again. It is written twice, again and again. The ministry of healing is not once and full stop. The ministry of healing is again and again. And subsequently, this child comes alive and he returns this child to his mother. Exactly as in the passage of John chapter 6, our Lord was telling his disciples, you know, it's very convenient to have me around, you know. You got no bread, I'll give you bread. Stone, I can convert it to bread. You want wine, I can convert water to wine, you know. You need me to part the sea, calm the ocean, I can do all that for you. You like to believe in a lot of signs and wonders, but you have forgotten verse 27, John chapter 6, verse 27. Any approval I do has been approved by my Father, God the Father. Verse 29, everything I do, the work that I do, is sanctioned by our Lord. And in verse 35, I am the bread of life. When you come to me, you will always be healed. So when we end, as we bring these two chapters to a close, we need to always understand this. In all health and all diseases, we are never the final authority. Our Lord is always the final authority. Never be scattered in your vision, especially when your vision is brutally disturbed. Why? Because all authority is given to our Lord. He is your healer. He protects you. And the most amazing thing about our Lord is that He always looks at each one of you. He knows your need. He never overlooks you. The human being may overlook you, no? But He will never overlook you. And lastly, kindly understand this. In all health, there is a vision and there is a time, and we always ought to place our hand in the hand of the living King, no matter what illnesses we have. And we ought to understand, as long as His word is central to our life, we can conquer all diseases, because divine health comes from Him, and all diseases bow down to His holy name. Are we clear? So let's close our eyes, as I would like to pray for two groups of people this morning. One are those of the healthcare profession. I will pray for them first, and then I will pray for each one of you sitting here this morning. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for having blessed us in the ministry of healthcare. We thank you for every profession that is represented here this morning, whether medical, nursing, therapy, pharmaceutical, surgical, and from the beginning of the hospital, from the outside, right through the doors of the wards, right into the community. We want to lay our hands and pray over every member who is represented here in the healthcare ministry. We thank you for the power you have given to them. And we ask that we will always be humble, Father, to everybody you bring through our door. Help us always to keep humility in our heart. Help us never to be arrogant in our mind, especially as we make decisions every day concerning the health of others you have brought through our doors. Help us always to be grateful to you. And we thank you, Lord, for having put us in this profession, a profession that we need to persevere, a profession that we need to meet people every day and bring you right to them. And help us to do it fearlessly, because with you, there are no mistakes. With you, divine health lies. And with you, we will always be able to walk step by step along the path you want us to walk. We thank you so much for every healthcare worker that is represented here in this audience. And now, Father, I want to pray for everyone who is sitting, everyone who is going to journey with you, everyone whom you gave a one day when they were born, gave them a one day when they came to know you, and there are going to be one days in each of our life, Father, as we journey on with you. We want to pray that you have so graciously given us life, life abundantly, spiritual, physical, and emotional. We thank you that all diseases bow down to you. And we pray, Father, that we will always calibrate our health in the household of God, that we will run to you. But we will not only stop there, we will go into the marketplace and help us to be focused on those whom are able to heal us in each of our different professions. And Father, as we stand, as we worship, as we keep you in our life, and as we keep your word in our heart, we ask, Father, that we will always find life in you, health to all of our flesh. And we pray, Father, that as you've given us health, we pray that we will always give voice to your holy, precious, and wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.